This week's conversation with Lee Peacock is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery and Avlia Folk Embroidery. If you haven't visited the new Sassy Jack Stitchery shop, the hosts at Fiber Talk highly recommend that you plan a trip to Woodfin, North Carolina this fall to do some serious needlework shopping, enjoy excellent restaurants, and marvel at the beautiful Smoky Mountain scenery. You'll also want to monitor the Sassy Jack's website or the Facebook page for an upcoming workshop with Jackie Duplessis. The workshop, Fall Bounty, will be held in early November. The Sassy Jack's Fall Soiree will be the next virtual event. It will be held October 26. You can register for both events at sassyjackstitchery.com. Whether you can travel to the shop or shop online at sassyjackstitchery.com, make Sassy Jack's your local needlework store for all of your stitching needs. Krista West at Avlia Folk Embroidery continues to produce outstanding designs. Her latest stunner is the Vlachernai Peacock's Table Runner, which Krista is showing finished as a table runner you can make any length and as a wall hanging. You'll also want to check out the Kyavan Stars and Delian Leaves, two beautiful table runners. When you shop at avliaembroidery.com, you can purchase kits, standalone charts, or PDF downloads. When you buy three PDF charts, use the code DOWNLOADFOLK and get a fourth chart free. Most important is that you put a copy of the terrific new Everyday Folk book by Krista West in your shopping cart. It's a book that will serve you way beyond the 175 designs it includes. Thanks to Sassy Jack Stitchery and Avlia Folk Embroidery for sponsoring this week's show with Lee Peacock, President of the Embroiderers Guild of America. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needlework artists. And our artist this week is the new president of the EGA, Lee Peacock. Lee, welcome.
Well, thank you, Gary, for having me today.
Oh, boy. This is going to be fun. Yeah. Yep. New president. I wonder when obviously you knew you were going to become president, but when that happens, that moment when, I'm the president, is that a little unnerving or is it exciting or is it, all right, let's get to work kind of thing? How does that hit you?
So it was kind of all of that rolled up into one. Okay. Very excited. And so many people were so kind and welcoming and greeting me. At the same time, it was, oh my God, it's really going to happen now. And I have this responsibility and I need to step up. And so let's see, I was official as of August the 15th. So mm-hmm. I'm not quite a month into it yet. But you really want to make a difference during your term. So you want to hit the ground running, but there's this huge learning curve that you have to experience. So right now it's a lot. Yeah. Trying to get myself ready for this.
Yeah. So is just about all of this is the standard Zoom meeting approach to talk with people? I'm sure there's a lot of meetings.
There are a lot of meetings. You've got several committees, board meetings, different committees within the boards, and a lot of it is Zoom. One of the side effects of COVID is everybody's using Zoom, which is kind of a good thing. It lessens the travel and you're able to get together more often so you can have a lot more discussion than you ever could have in the past. And it makes the whole organization much more nimble and quick to respond to any issues that may arise.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you have quite a history. I mean, you joined EGA, what was it, 85? So you've been a member, kind of worked your way through the system, but it's been a part of your life for a long time.
For a very long time. My best friends are in this organization, and it's very dear to me, which is part of the reason when I was approached to accept this position, I really wanted to do it. I really did, because I want to see the art form continue and I want to see the guild flourish. So yeah, I've been around a while.
Well, that's okay. Well, that's the thing. I mean, obviously EGA sponsors a show every month and we appreciate that, but we talk about EGA all the time because to me, it's an organization that brings together so many techniques, such a diversity of techniques, but also it just seems to me like there's a constant effort to move it forward and to find new avenues to share needlework. And I just feel real good about that as an organization. It's real easy for organizations in any hobby or any interest to just kind of get stuck. Mm-hmm. And I just have not seen here through the years, have just not seen EGA get stuck. They just seems like they're always finding something.
Thank you for saying that. That means a great deal to the organization. Yeah. That is front and center all the time. We must stay relevant. We mm-hmm. need to embrace our past and our traditions, but we need to continue to be relevant to new needle artists coming up. So thank you for saying that. The boards prior to me have all worked very hard to achieve that.
Yeah, well, I don't get that we've always done it this way feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what kills organizations of all kinds is, well, we've always done it this way. You got to keep breaking new ground. You got to keep moving forward. And especially with needlework, I mean, it's basically an activity that it involves older people for the most part, but you got to find those young people, and I get a sense that that's happening there. But that was one of the questions I had for you. Is that part of your agendas? I mean, are we going to work toward getting young people? I mean, that's a tough nut too.
That is a real tough nut, and yes, absolutely, we want to make the organization and our mission of education, we want to make that easier for a younger generation to come in and embrace it. The way I learned needlework and the way we did it in the past may not be the best way for the future. Yeah. So we're tweaking, we're testing new things to see if it works, to see if it's more attractive to the younger people. Mm-hmm. So yes. It's definitely a high priority.
Yeah.
Or like you said, I mean, we're not the only ones that are suffering membership. Any type of organization that's a club-based or a membership-based, membership tends to be falling off across the board.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, the 80-20 rule just works against you all the time. It's any organization struggles. I mean, even the smaller guilds, how many of them are struggling to find people to do programs, be the chairman, do all those functions. And you have the people who've done it year after year after year. And at some point they just say, hey, can somebody else do this job?
Right.
It's tough.
And the best ones to recruit are the young folks. Bring them on up through the ranks and put them in these leadership positions. That's not to say that there aren't a lot of people out there that have been working for a long time and are continuing to devote themselves to the organization. We're very fortunate in that there are some fine, fine volunteers.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, there's no question. But if you don't bring that young element in, but the pandemic, I think, was a real, well, obviously it was a plus for needlework because the shops just simply couldn't keep up, but I had just in seeing things online, social media, there seems to be an element of young people that is continuing. It wasn't just a pandemic, it's over, I'm going to go back to other things. There seems to be a continuation of that interest, which is great because that suggests they're hooked. We got them.
Exactly. Right. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. That was one of the few good things that came out of the pandemic. People rediscovered the love of needle arts.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It was a good thing for that.
Oh, yeah. No, there's, you look positives out of just an ugly couple of years, and that was definitely one. People discovered not just needlework, but all kinds of things that don't involve a screen, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And it was comforting, and you enjoyed yourself. In a time of stress, you had this as a reliever, and it was definitely a plus for the industry and the art form. Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you see EGA maintaining that and growing that aspect? Is it just constantly trying things? How do you see that going forward?
Absolutely, constantly trying things, trying to figure out what the younger generations, what their needs are and how we can best meet them. But and at the same time, we need to continue to serve the membership that we have. But we need to, I don't want to say morph, but we need to be flexible and make the opportunity available to the younger folks coming in.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Now, I liken needlework and organizations such as EGA to churches, where your money, your support long term, you know, your offering plates, that all comes from that older generation.
Right.
And if you don't feed the church, the congregation, with young people and young families, you eventually just go away. And needlework to me is the same kind of thing. You've got to find a way to get these young people involved and find techniques and designs that are attractive to them. And not always easy. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we're trying with this seminar next year in Dallas is a retreat style class. It's just a 2-day sampler. We call it Sampler University, Sampler U. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to attract people that cannot come in for the full week, which is a great time if you can do it, but just people that have that weekend time. And this would give them an opportunity for 2 days of instruction from 2 different teachers for 2 different projects. So, you know, we're testing the waters. Is this going to work? Is this our future? And then we've also brought in another teacher. She's going to do a 5-day workshop, but it's not going to be in your traditional, here's the project, this is what you're going to do. It's going to be different. Here's the technique, and everybody works on their own, utilizing what you've been taught. So it's very much geared toward the needleworker who wants to design and do their own thing. I think that's pretty exciting. So.
Yeah, and well, on many shows, we've talked about that, making pieces your own. So that's... Mm-hmm. That's encouraging right there. But that's interesting, because, you know, we've had through all the years of shows talk about these national seminars, and can people go for the week? Can the young people go? Can they be away from their families? So it sounds like you're addressing that then.
We're sure making an effort at it. And when I was a young mom, stay-at-home mom, that was what I planned for the whole year. But truly, that was my vacation. It's becoming more of a challenge, and it's getting more expensive as the hotels are getting more expensive. Everything is getting more expensive. So we're looking at possibly a full Sunday to Sunday event is not going to work. So we pared it back down so that we're a Wednesday through a Sunday and giving you several options. And now we're going to try just this weekend event and see how that works, and perhaps look to more weekend type events with other topics. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, that seems much more approachable to young mothers and fathers. I'm going to throw in the men here. You know, got to fight for the other side. But, you know, that's a more approachable thing rather than I'm going away for a week. Say to your husband, good luck with the kids, you know.
I'm out of here. Yeah. Although it was great, but it's hard. It's absolutely hard. And then throw in you're a working mom. It's almost impossible then to do that.
Yeah. So hey, applause to you for pulling it off. That's pretty good.
I wasn't a working mom, so that made a lot of difference. Had I been a working mom, it would have been a huge challenge.
But you'd have been right in the same bucket then. Yeah.
Right in the same bucket. So, but I've got nieces and nephews that are. Especially a niece that's a stitcher, and she's trying to work and maintain her family and go and do all these things. And so I'm sensitive to her needs and how mm-hmm. I can make it work for her. And she's just one of thousands and thousands and thousands of people right. out there, men and yeah. women that we want to bring into the fold.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of young people organizations or loose organizations that, you see that seem to be getting some traction. So it's good. We just got to keep feeding the meter there. Yeah.
Well, and you've interviewed some designers that are younger women that mm-hmm. are gearing their product towards the younger market. That's who we need to team up with.
Fine. Yeah. No, I intentionally look for those for that mm-hmm. very reason. We need to, number one, we need to get them into some exposure, get them some exposure, these younger designers, even if they have, you know, two or three designs, that's all they have. That's okay. At least let's get them some exposure, talk about them, get people to know about them, because that's the only way they're going to grow. Because it's, you can pound social media all you want, but at some point you need to sell some charts and get some people stitching them.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we have this past year in Atlanta at the National Seminar, we had pop-up shops where a vendor could come in just for an afternoon or for an evening and just come in, pop, and then leave. It would have been really easy. So we hope that we'll bring in more people that way also, more vendors, so they have an opportunity to grow their business. You know, they're right there with all their people.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
So basically then Dallas is going to be maybe the second iteration of an attempt to more modularize the seminar so that people can participate in little tidbits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So another thing that Atlanta did that we're going to replicate in Dallas is you could actually just come into the hotel. You could pay to come in for an evening or an afternoon and just stitch with the group of people, and you could go see the exhibit, and you could do all these different things, but you didn't have to pay a registration fee. You know, you could just be a participant, limited participation. We're going to duplicate that in Dallas as well. It was very successful. So you could come after work and spend a couple hours and see what's going on, see the exhibits.
Mm-hmm. That was, and I assume that was successful to some degree.
To some degree, yes. Well, no, it was successful. Okay. Very successful.
I guess I mean that in that, all right, you tried it, you had some success, so now you can build on that.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, it's beneficial to the folks in the community where you are. So there were lots of folks in Atlanta who wanted to come in, who could do an afternoon or an evening and just be with everybody and stitch and have fun without an obligation of a hotel room. Without having to take a class. So mm-hmm. I'm sure there are people like that in Dallas as well. So.
Oh, I'm confident there are mm-hmm. kind of many of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always look at events is how many people can you draw who can drive 2 hours or less mm-hmm. and participate. And so these kinds of things would be attractive to people. You know, I can get in a car with a friend, we can have a little dinner on the way and participate. Or on the way home, yeah, that's interesting. And I'll point out to people at the bottom of the screen for the Sampler University program that EGA has going, egausa.org/sampler-u is where you go. And it's Sylvia Strecker from Running with Needles and Scissors. I love that name.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah, it's her sampler. One of them is her sampler, Isabella Kettlewell. 1818. Yeah, I love the name Running with Needles.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really special sampler too. And that's one day of Sampler U. Will be the morning you will have this sampler. The afternoon you're going to take motifs from the sampler and make smalls out of them. So that's mm-hmm. day one. Then day two, we have Becky Nolan with Lucy Bean coming in, and she's got a sewing roll. You will get your work in advance, and then when you show up at seminar, the whole day is going to be spent in finishing. So you come in and you get this wonderful reproduction sampler, and the next day you finish up and you walk home and you've got this finished piece. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh no, you're going to get me past the finish the piece and put it in a drawer stage. Outstanding.
Yeah. That's kind of the idea. We're going to hook you that way.
Have you ever finished anything? Well, finished the stitching, but no. not the rest of it. Yeah.
Don't we all have a drawer like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yep. That and I look around here, all the ones, projects that are on frames and everything else that are in various states. Yep. Well, that, we did, people can look back if you want to know who Sylvia Stecker is. We did a show with her some time ago, but she's terrific young, terrific. I don't know what her age is, let's say young lady, but to me, they're all young. But a terrific lady, and that sampler is really special. So, that's going to be nice. So that'll be one thing. What do you travel around to see to the regional and the local guilds? Is that going to be part of your role?
Actually, that's going to be one of the best parts of my role as national president. There are 12 regions, and during my 3-year term, I will visit each one of them once, and then I will attend the national seminar. So I will attend 3 seminars as the national president and then travel around the country to the different regions. So that's really going to be a lot of fun, getting to visit all the folks that you especially enjoy being with.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that's a whole bunch of people that maybe can't get to the national seminar that can get to a regional one.
Right. Right. Yeah. So before it's all said and done, I should know all 9,000 people in the guild.
Yep. There'll be a quiz.
Yeah. Remembering everybody's name.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's something that people need to, maybe they are aware of it, is these regional seminars. When you look at, can I go to a national seminar for a week? Well, maybe, maybe not. But you can certainly go to a regional one, which are usually in driving distance.
And, absolutely.
And yeah, I think people need to make themselves aware of these, because these are serious events. I mean, these are.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They're bringing in national teachers also. So definitely check them out. They are they're usually shorter in length, long weekend type things, and they're within driving distance sometimes of where you live. So. And that doesn't have to be a retreat. Sometimes it's just a getaway where you're just going to stitch and have fun. So there's different formats that are available to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I failed to mention about Sampler U is you don't have to be a member of EGA to go and attend Sampler U.
Mm, that's huge. So
that's huge. Yeah. Now, if you are a member, there's a discount, but you can go and attend the classes the weekend and not be a member of EGA. But we think once we get you in there and you meet us and you like us, you might want to join us.
Right. Well, so. we've talked about that, how much is available on the EGA website. Mm-hmm. And then we always have to say, but you have to be a member to see this and that and the other thing. And always in my mind is, how do we expose people to EGA who are not members to basically suck them in so they'll join but they first have to really appreciate the breadth of what is offered, and you can do that to some degree on the website, but getting them to join a local guild and get involved that's always going to be a challenge, but
always. Yeah. But we're preparing ourselves for this. We're hoping that we're going to get folks who will come in and will join. And then our challenge is going to be engage them and keep them coming back, and so that they'll want to retain their membership and join a local chapter. So we're preparing ourselves for that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So that is where is membership now? Is it growing? What did the pandemic do to membership? Did it grow it?
So it did not grow it necessarily. No. We're actually growing now. We're back to our pre-pandemic membership levels.
Oh.
But this year we went to a system where you can pay online, which is really neat. It's going to present a challenge too, because everybody's renewal date will be different. So if you join today, for instance, your renewal date would be different than mine because I joined back in May. Mm-hmm. So it's going to create some, not issues, but interesting statistics as we go forward to see exactly how's the membership doing, because we've got this whole first year of trying this system out, which again, that's part of keeping up with what's going on. in the world. People are used to that, just getting online and doing everything. And they don't, people don't use checks. I mean, I do, but people don't write checks anymore.
No, they
don't. So how can you mail a check in? So,
Okay. Yeah. And I can see the problem. You don't have that annual month where everybody renews. So then you can, at the end of that time, you can do a head count and know how many you have.
Right. So this will be our first year to kind of get a feel for it and see how it all falls out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
But it needed to be done. Yes, absolutely. And if you joined mid-year before, you wouldn't get the benefit of a whole year because you would be renewing with everybody else. Now you can join mid-year and you get the benefit of the whole year.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and we anymore, like you said, with online purchases of all kinds, you expect that full year. And
right.
I joined, I got 3 months and I got to join again. Ouch. Yeah. What other areas do you see EGA doing to grow? Basically all techniques are involved. I can't think of a technique that's not part of EGA in some form.
Yeah. So we need to stay current with what it seems like. There's highs and lows of interest into each one of the different areas. So we need to make sure that we're ahead of the curve, if at all possible, trying to identify what's the next big hot interest thing and stay abreast of it. Still at the same time, keeping our traditions in place and the techniques in place that we've established, but tweaking, changing, always staying fresh.
Yeah. Tough to do. Got to work at it every day. Yeah.
It's very hard. Yeah. It's very, very hard.
Yeah. The education aspect of EGA to me it impresses me. I mean, it seems to me like there is always something new in the education end of things for people to dip their toes into if they've never tried a technique. Good people there working hard to put those programs together and projects.
And all volunteers, dedicated volunteers who want to see this organization thrive. We are the guardians, if you will. That sounds like superheroes and stuff, but I feel like it's our responsibility to make sure that this art form continues and flourishes in the future. So we're putting on our superhero capes and going after it.
Yeah. Well, I think that I don't think that's all that extreme of a statement to make, because to me, and it's another topic we've had recently, is preserving these techniques. Mm-hmm. And because so many of them, if someone doesn't do a book or someone doesn't put together some projects, these old techniques can die off and they never
very
age.
Easy.
They never age. It's, like white work. I mean, there's so many forms of white work. And you don't want them to die off. They need to be documented. People need to have a chance to do them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know you have a fondness for white work.
Yes, I do enjoy the white work. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, but white work, gold work, there's just so many.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, we've talked recently about Yvette Stanton and her library of books on the various techniques. If we didn't have her saving those techniques, where would white work be today?
Right. That's a very good example.
Yeah. And then gold work is also, that one makes me nervous, because we've got several people who are keeping gold work alive, but it's the supply of material that makes me most nervous, because to get good quality material, there's just one left in England, and I'm sure there's some cheaper versions elsewhere in the world, but boy, that one makes me nervous, because
that's going to be a huge challenge.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that one.
I don't think there is one. You just got to hope that the next generation in that family picks up the business. That's all you can do.
Well, when you've got the big customers like the RSN and the other organizations there that utilize all these materials, surely they're going to make sure that something happens, I hope.
We'll count on the Rail family to keep that driving.
Step it up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Buy more thread, yes.
There you go.
Yep. So let's, you're stitching. What, you know, when you say I get to go stitch with people when you travel, what's your stitching history? Did you start out with a particular technique, learn from your mother?
No. My mother thinks that I'm a throwback to some a previous generation. It's true. So I think I started out quilting. And it just kind of grew from there. And then I was living in Colorado Springs at the time and joined a chapter of EGA, Pikes Peak chapter of EGA. And I just found my people and everything they were doing, I was so interested in. And then I relocated to Texas and we formed a chapter, Tip of Texas. And, you know, we're currently about 40 members strong. And it's a very robust group of people. And then I got involved in the region and it, you know, took on projects. And but my favorite stitching right now, I'm really doing a lot of reproduction samplers.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy gold work. I enjoy white work. I can't think of too many things that I haven't enjoyed, which creates a problem unto itself.
Yeah, welcome to that club. Welcome to that club, yes.
I want all the stuff. I want it all.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, I look around here. Yep. Mm-hmm. About four techniques within arm's reach right now. Yep. Yeah.
Easy.
To me, that's, I'm much more of a process stitcher. I enjoy the process of doing them. And yeah, I'm probably notorious for never finishing anything. Well, you know, once a year, maybe. But I just enjoy that, the technique and learning how to do it and working away at it. And then I have a squirrel problem where, you know, oh, squirrel, I got to go try this. But I think that's as much fun as somebody who sits down with a sampler and pounds their way through it till it's done. I mean, everybody has a different way.
You know, I don't think anybody should ever feel bad about, as you were talking about, the four projects within arm's reach, whether they get finished or not. If you get enjoyment out of them and you've learned what you wanted to out of them, that's fine. Move on down the road. Enjoy it. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Bring it all in. Never.
Yeah. No. Bother me a lick. No. So what are you working on now? Is it gold work now?
Nope. I've got that sampler. I'm getting ready to take a Sampler U class next year. So I'm excited about that, Isabella, that little girl sampler. It's really exciting. It's really pretty. So
Yeah, samplers are a fascinating little world. And we, you know, you got the history of the girl who did them.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know, okay, the girl stitched them, but how much input was there from the teacher or the mother? I'd love to know that interaction. But I'm also fascinated by the motifs.
Right.
How they have traveled throughout the world and which ones have meaning and how they've been modified. To me, that is maybe more interesting than the young lady who stitched the one that we get reproduced.
And what would that little girl think if she knew that we were reproducing her piece?
Yeah. I mean,
especially if she didn't enjoy it.
I know. Yep.
And somebody's making her do this, and now you want to do it again? It doesn't make
nuts.
Sense. Yeah, yep. Right? Yep. But it's kind of a funny thing that we have so much interest right now in reproduction samplers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see a red one. I'm all about it. I see one with a house. Oh, that's got to be mine. I need to do that. So it's just all across the board. But what would those little girls think?
Yeah.
Just baffles me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And my mom made me do this or my teacher made me do this and I wanted to go play. And here we are. You know, I need to get this done, my chores done for the day so I can go stitch. Yeah. And, work on it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the more complex ones that we find challenging and these little girls just, whatever.
Isn't that crazy? Here's a stitch you cannot master, and yet it came off a sampler and an 8-year-old girl did it.
Yeah.
There's something so discouraging about that.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
Oh, I love looking at the backs of the originals.
Right.
To me, I can tell if it's a girl who is serious about her stitching or who just make it go away so I can go play. And so there'll be a thread that goes from here to here. It's just, mm-hmm. I don't care. Just get my stitching done for the day so I can go. Yeah.
And it seems like it's more, there was a whole lot more, not a whole lot more. There was a lot more dragging on the backside than you would have thought.
Yep. Oh, yeah. 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 They don't care.
They didn't care. You just get it, go from here, and I need to be over here, and it's not a problem. Yep. It just amazes me.
Yeah.
I like the ones where the ladies have gone in the vanity samplers, where they've gone and cut out the date that they finished it so that you can't backtrack and figure their ages out.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That is really special.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Relax. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah. And it fascinates me. At some point, I expect us to run out of samplers to reproduce. But, boy, it just seems to be an endless supply of these things.
I think it's run over a couple of centuries, right?
Yeah.
So you had band samplers forever. Yeah, you could wonder that, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think we'll run out.
Well, clearly not.
Yeah. Clearly not. It's just how long will the interest remain so high?
Yeah.
And that's probably a more of a challenge than running out.
Yeah, there's a personal connection there. But I love the fact that in the sampler you talking about, because to me this is the real power of samplers, taking sections or motifs and making ornaments or smaller things. I think people miss out that when you buy a chart, you're buying much more than just that 10 by 12 sampler. There's within that are so many other projects that you can do, and you know, we suggest to people all the time, own one or two samplers that are nothing but alphabets.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can use those letters so many places, and those charts have value that if you never stitch that sampler that is just ABC, ABC, ABC all the way through, if you never stitch that, you still have a valuable set of letters that you can put on any other project. Right.
So we have a Saturday afternoon at Sampler U just for you.
Do you?
You can come in and work with those motifs, and Sylvia will help you design and take pull out elements, and that's got your name all over
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. I'll make a note. Yep. Okay. No, because there are other, you can do that with other designs, but mm-hmm. not as easily and not as readily as just pulling off a motif and making an ornament or making a little pillow or any number of things. Samplers just really lend themselves well to that, especially the Quaker ones.
Right.
They
can be very versatile in design opportunities. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm really intrigued with this sampler use. So this is going to be a weekend, 2-day thing, and sign up. Anybody can come, and I don't have
anybody.
To... I don't have to get involved in the rest of it if I don't have time or don't want to. I can just
or
come
don't
for
want
that.
To. No, wow. You can't. So all you have to do on September the 10th at 12 noon Eastern Time, you can go on to the egausa.org website, and that is when registration will open up for the entire seminar, and you will be able to scroll down and see Sampler U. And you can sign up at that point. But it's first come, first serve. So you want to be right at that computer, 12 o'clock.
Like buying Taylor Swift tickets. Be there. Be ready.
Be there. But you're going to know right away whether you are in or not.
Okay.
So,
Yeah. Tell me, the virtual lectures are going to continue?
Oh, absolutely. Those have been hugely
popular.
Those
are the best. They're the
best. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That has done so much for... the membership and then having those available to them. And they're just so darn interesting all mm-hmm. the time. So yes, absolutely.
Good. Yeah. That's absolutely one of the best things. I haven't participated in recent months just because I've been so busy, but Boy, I tell you, it, I mean, I've said many times, I'd just pay a flat fee for the year rather mm-hmm. than doing it. Just give me a price, I'll pay it and be done, because I just think every one of those that I've watched has just been top flight, really good stuff.
And they are recorded, so if you've missed it, you can go back and right. pick it up. So they've been hugely popular. And now that we've expanded, there's no reason that you can't get in.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, those early days where it was kind of a battle to get in, yeah.
Right.
You made those go away. Yep.
Yeah, you're poised over the computer, getting ready to hit the button, hoping you get in. Yeah. So that's not happening anymore.
I really wanted that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've addressed that issue. We've taken care of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm intrigued. You started out, you were CEO of a Girl Scouts in Texas. I mean, that you and the numbers that you have there, wherever I read them, you really built that up. That's fascinating. But part of your nonprofit career, building up nonprofits, that's a challenge and a half, boy.
So I was the Girl Scout Council that I was CEO of for 23 years is in South Texas. And originally it was the four counties right on the border of Texas and Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And in 2006 and 2007, the national organization decided that it would be a good thing for us to realign this councils so that we could better serve girls. So you had councils that were super wealthy, and then you had councils that did not have enough money, that were barely struggling. And so in an effort to make sure everybody got quality program, they came in and realigned them. So my council went from four counties to 24 counties in South Texas. And the thing about it, there was no way that you could get from one, the southernmost part of it to the northernmost part of it flying without having to go to Houston first. So you ended up driving, and it, to make the whole council, it took a couple of days. But it was a very challenging time, but we got through it, and everything is good on the end. So that 23 years is a very special part of my life. Very special, working with the volunteers, working with the staff, with the board of directors. I seldom got to actually engage with the little girls because I was doing all the administrative business of it.
Oh, so that's too bad, because I was going to ask you. I mean, there has to be a million stories of girls whose lives have been changed just because of a leader or some activity they did. There's got to just be a truckload of those. Yeah.
So my job was to make sure that leader was trained and was there for the girl so that girl could have that experience. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't part of that. I was part of getting that leader in the position that she needed to be in. And I have no doubts that leaders have wonderful stories about the impact that they've made on these girls' lives. No doubt at all.
Mm. Yep. Oh, that's a cool thing to do. That's Do you miss that? Or
I miss the people. Well, you do it for 23 years, and then I'm getting older, and it becomes much more demanding, and it's a lot of travel, and you have to drive it all. You can't fly it, so it's taking its wear and tear.
Yeah.
So,
like
but
anything.
Then I found I could do something for EGA, so back on the road again.
Right. Yep. Yep. So how does it work with EGA? I mean, obviously you're president, but you have an upper tier, if you would, of people who work on like at a board level, and then volunteers underneath that. How does that work?
So there is a board of directors, there's the executive committee, and then there are board members that are representing each one of these regions.
Okay.
So there's 12 of those region directors, and then below them are the committees that are working for, there's membership and marketing, there are programs and education. We do have a staff. We have an office in Louisville, and we have a staff of 3.5. Very dedicated people, very, very dedicated people that have been with the organization quite a while. So, but for the most part, it is all volunteer driven.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And to have an organization at this level, all volunteers, is that's an accomplishment.
It's a lot of dedicated people who care a great deal about the organization. Yes. Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Great. Yep. Well, Lee, thank you, and congratulations, and best of luck. I'm sure we'll see great things. Thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it very, very much. Look forward to seeing you in Dallas.
I guess I got to go do the sampler, don't I?
You have to go do the sampler.
All right. Thanks, Lee, and thanks to everyone for listening.